Mike Craighead, well, introduce yourself to us.
Well, you have my name. That's the Mike Craighead part. I carve pumpkins, not the jack-o'-lantern kind where you hollow them out. I kind of carve them from the outside in, so it's more of a sculptural deal. You light them from the outside, and, you know, put candles inside for the most part, that kind of thing. And I've been doing it for a real long time. I was on Halloween Wars back in 2017, and this year I fooled them into letting me come back on for the season 14. And it's an all-star season. So they've got, each team is captained by a former winner. And then there's also someone like me who's been on before but didn't win. And spoiler alert for people watching reruns of season 7. And then someone else who's never been on the show before. So it was a real gathering of just amazing weirdos.
So, okay, now, I don't watch a whole lot of TV, so I don't even know what a Halloween War is. Can you tell us about that?
Okay. Yeah, it's on Food Network, and it's a competition show where there's a pumpkin carver and a cake artist and a sugar artist, and there'll be a challenge like that, some kind of just bizarre Halloween-themed challenge. And you have to work together with these other people to build some big monstrosity and kind of blend the mediums so you can barely tell what's what, what's pumpkin and what's not. and then they're judged, and then you're eliminated week after week until whoever wins.
Oh, fun. That sounds really fun and like right down your alley.
Exactly. When you carve pumpkins like this, there's only a few, you know, places you can go. and there's this show, and there's another show called Outrageous Pumpkins that looks like fun that I'd like to be on. But this one is really the big one that, like, everyone who carves pumpkins terminally, like I do, kind of wants to be on this show. So it's just a real, you know, I'm just tickled to do it, and just to hang out with those folks, like the other pumpkin carvers, but also the cake and sugar people who are just top of their profession. They're all just exceptionally good at what they do, and they're very cool weirdos. So these are my people for sure.
Awesome. Well, and how did you, is this something you had to audition for?
There's like a form you send in, you fill out a form and send pictures.
Okay.
Here's what I carve and stuff like that. And then they follow up with interviews and then Zoom interviews and on. And then, yeah, that's how you get in. That's the way it is with, all of the, like the Food Network shows, as far as I understand.
How fun. Well, and I'm assuming like this allows you to also get paid to create your art.
Not really.
Oh.
What's been cool is I've had a chance in meeting all these people, to go help them with projects. So, I've gotten to fly places and go help build things and paint things with these other weirdos. And now I am getting occasionally there'll be a paying gig, but they're few and far between, and they're pretty much only around this time of year. So, you know, and that's mainly just, can we do it and not lose money?
Mm-hmm.
Is the more common situation. And I was definitely, going through a lot of pumpkins, and then I started getting paid in pumpkins over at Organic Matters pumpkin patch and whatnot. So if they pay me in pumpkins, that's pretty lucrative right there. And then, there are an occasional, actual like paid gig, but there's only like six people on earth that, you know, you could say are actual making a living doing that. A couple of whom were on the show this year. There's a lot of them will be, you know, in the off season, they'll carve with a chainsaw or sand or, you know, a bunch of other things and just kind of creative folks that have turned it into a career. But for me, it's just a seasonal affliction.
Wow. And And so what do you, I mean, you say a seasonal affliction. So what do you carve the rest of the year?
Not much, actually, because by the time Halloween season's over, I'm a little bit tired of carving. So I take a break, and the break tends to last a long time. But I am starting to branch out into, like, I'm carving some wood, and I'm starting to make carving tools, because normally you use, like, clay loop carving tools that you would normally use for clay, and they just don't hold up for the most part to pumpkins after a while. So selfishly, I'm making my own that'll hold up, and that might turn into a little, you know, side hustle. We'll see if I can get my act together there. But yeah, it's pretty much this is the time when I really leap into action, and then I just kind of just pretty much hide in the closet the rest of the year.
Well, except that's not true, because you're also a musician, right?
Yes. When people see me and can't remember where they know me from, that's one of the places they know me from. I've been playing up here, like 30 years. I was in a band with the late great Eldon Green, with Bob Martinez. I played a lot with Sari Baker. I have 4 recordings out there. That's been the other thing. I haven't been playing out a long time. I haven't kind of gotten back into the swing of it since COVID, really. But yeah, I feel bad about that and hope to rectify it soon.
Well, I mean, you're such a creative person, and I feel like in Humboldt, you know, we have so many artists here, and I'm always amazed at how people are able to make a living. You know, you talk about getting paid in pumpkins, and you can only eat so much pumpkin, if you even are eating them, because you're carving them, so probably not. I'm just really curious, like, how do you support yourself?
I have a normal job. Oh. I work at DHHS.
Oh, well, that's good.
Yeah. It's not the kind of thing. You definitely have to have stacked side hustles and things if you're an artist in general, I think. Mm-hmm. And it is that rare achievement, folks who can turn it into a whole career that is also creatively fulfilling. Mm-hmm. Like, sometimes there's, you either compromise on the art or compromise on the money, and it's kind of hard to live that way. So that's always a constant struggle, for sure. So, yeah, I went the route of having a normal job.
And then trying to do this as much as possible. And you have quite a lineup. I mean, I'm looking at all of your events that are coming up next month. Mm-hmm. And you're going to be sort of appearing throughout California, but also, I mean, mostly really focused in Humboldt. Do you want to talk about that a little bit?
Yeah. So for the first week of October, I'm actually going to be down in LA with 3 other carvers from the show. So Alan and these are just pumpkin carvers, and one of them was actually the cake artist, but she's now stealing our jobs and carving pumpkins. So the 4 of us are going to be appearing in 3 days in a row at 3 different locations down in LA. At a pumpkin patch, and at like a virtual reality place, and at a golf, like a mini golf place.
Oh, fun.
So, super fun to hang out with them. We're collaborating on stuff and calling each other names and pointing and laughing and whatnot. And I'm definitely learning a lot. But then I'm back up here on the 12th, I'm at Organic Matters Ranch. They always have beautiful pumpkins.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's actually 2 weekends in a row. It's going to be Organic Matters the Saturday, and then Eureka Natural Foods on Sunday. So it's Eureka Natural Foods in McKinleyville on the 13th Sunday. And then the 19th Saturday is Organic Matters. And then the 20th is Eureka Natural Foods in Eureka.
Mm, cool.
And then Boo at the Zoo. On the 27th, which is super fun. There's like a million tiny little kids in costumes running around, and it's just the best.
Oh, it's so much fun. Well, Halloween is so fun, and your pumpkins are just delightful. I mean, I don't have the tools, but I definitely have been envious and been like, I'm going to try to do this, and I never do. I mean, I just ruin the thing, and it ends up looking cool anyway because it's Halloween and it's spooky. But
there you go.
What I mean, I know you've told your origin story many times, but what is it about the pump? Like, what drew you to pumpkin carving?
Well, it's, I mean, I've always kind of done, I can't remember never, you know, not carving them for like my whole life, but it really kind of got out of hand, when I was working at Freshwater School, because I had a captive audience. So I started doing more and more, you know, scarier, bigger, weirder things. And I ended up doing these, whole skeletons made out of pumpkins, kind of wired together. So it's a life-size, you know, skeleton made out of pumpkins. And so that would be really cool to, like, tuck in a hallway somewhere as a just a reliable jump scare for anybody walking by, like the parents and the teachers and the kids. And I was always just sort of, you know, in competition with myself, trying to get better, putting stuff on my porch. And I kind of became a little bit of a destination in the neighborhood. People know to drive by a certain time of year. And then that's when I got on the show for season 7 back then, 2017. And then, you know, right after that, I was able to carve with a guy that was on that show, Tater Edwards. I went out to Ohio and at this big, you know, pumpkin festival where, you know, a lot of real pumpkin nerds were, you know, just, again, they're just real fun people. And, it's the thing about pumpkins is that everyone kind of knows what it's like to carve a pumpkin. We have some notion of it. So it's extra weird to see it being done differently and seeing it being pushed. But I think it's more approachable than, you know, even wood carving or, you know, if you see a marble statue in a museum, there's kind of a distance to that. But pumpkin is just kind of this visceral thing that everyone understands, and it's really approachable. So, it's something that you can, you don't have to be too precious about it like you would with wood. Mm. Like if I'm carving a piece of redwood, I'm like afraid to do anything. And, you have to honor the material so much. But with a pumpkin, you know, worst case scenario, if you mess up too bad, just don't take pictures of it and it'll turn to mush at some point and off you go. So you can really get better quickly, I think, if you, you know, think that way and just keep on practicing.
Yeah. Well, and I like that approachability that you mentioned. I mean, I think that's the key right there, is that anybody can do it. And like you said, it doesn't really matter if you screw it up. You're not losing like a big piece of redwood or a big piece of marble or, you know, whatever.
In the end, it is just a pumpkin in the end. And I do have a book I wrote on how to carve like this. It's specifically about how to carve skulls, because that's one of the only things that I really go back to and keep doing, because it's always a challenge and you can never get it quite right, but it's fun to, you know, stumble toward it and try. So that was one of the few things I felt like I could really explain how to do. Mm-hmm. So the book is Pumpkin Skulls and Other Silly Things. And it shows you it tells you broadly how to carve like this, and a bunch of tips and tricks and what to, you know, what tools and what to watch out for. And then it takes you through how to carve a skull out of a kind of a skull shaped pumpkin, of which we have a lot up here. Turns out, for instance, in Ohio, they didn't have hardly any. I would have written the book differently had I been there before.
Oh, weird.
But here there's a whole bunch that kind of get a pear shape to them, and you can really make a skull out of that. And then there's just a whole bunch of pictures of, other pumpkins I carved up to 2018. But so that's that's an idea for folks who are trying to figure out how to get started.
Well, and I gotta say, you sent me this book and I have been studying it. It is a tremendously well-written guide, and you're funny.
Oh, thank you.
You know, you're also, you're funny. So I appreciate that.
Thank you very much.
And so where can folks get the book?
I keep telling people how hilarious I am, and they just don't believe me. I'm going to quote you now.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm going to quote you now.
Well, you can play this back. You can play this back.
I'll have them call you. I'll have them call you, and you can assure them.
Oh, perfect. That's exactly what I need.
I'll give your number out to a lot of people.
Well, you know, it's Cam. They can call me. I'll hang up on him.
All right, cool.
So where can people get your book?
MikeCraighead.com. You can also get it at, you know, you can, most bookstores have a way to buy it. So they can order it or show up at where I'm located and any of the carving demos I do, I usually will have a little stack available there. So that's the most reliable probably is seek me out and I'll have them.
Okay. Well, and do you have any tips or tricks? Because as I told you with our email exchanges, you know, we're doing this Kay Humpkin carving contest, and I love the stuff that people have sent in over the past couple of years, but I would like to challenge you to, you know, stretch yourselves a little bit. And really, Mike, you are such a creative example of how far somebody can go with a pumpkin. So do you have any tips or tricks that you want to just give over the air?
Sure. It's similar to sand sculpture, because I've done that a bunch. And part of the trick there is finding the right thing to do so that it's like a one frame comic strip. So it's, what's the joke? What's the story you're telling? And you kind of get people invested in that. They'll come back to see the progress. Oh, that's what it is. I get that joke. So if you can figure out, you know, if it's just a funny looking face, that's cool. Is it, if it's an angry face, I like to say, well, what is it angry about? Oh, there's a bug crawling up its cheek or something. You know, give it some kind of story it's telling. And they're just generally more successful that way. Also, there are a whole bunch of just really good dumb jokes. I mean, that are just classic. You know, the barfing pumpkin is a thing of beauty. It's just a good, solid joke. And it doesn't take a lot of artistry is not required. I think illustrating a good idea, a good joke, is more important than having it, you know, be really having any level of detail or even accuracy or anything. It's all just we're just entertaining each other. So I think if you in any kind of competitive thing, I think it's basically a battle of jokes.
I like that. I'm gonna steal that.
All right.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much for taking the time today. And these dates that you're out in the community, are you going to be demonstrating? Is that what's going on when you're at Organic Matters Ranch and Eureka Natural Foods? Is that kind of what you're doing?
It's basically an opportunity to come in and point and laugh. I'll generally bring like one or two pre-carved with me, and then I just carve all day. So you can see, you know, if you show up at the pumpkin patch, you'll see X number of pumpkins, and by the time you're done shopping around and on your way out, you'll see it'll be one more pumpkin, and you'll get to see them develop over time. So yeah, if you're just looking at what's carved, or you know, I'm there to answer questions, and you know, there's always you know, folks who've seen the show and want to ridicule me about that, and that is all welcome. But yeah, it's pretty much just I just kind of put on a show of making as many pumpkins as I can. I'll usually end up, there's a skull, there's these really cool they're called candy roaster squash that are like kind of peach colored, and they're like 18 inches long and can get up like a couple of feet real easy. They're just comically large. But that's something that I like to make a banana slug out of because it's like bright yellow inside. So I like always make those because they're fun. But then it's just whatever happens, you know, I'll start carving on something and it'll turn into whatever it turns into. And you get to watch that happen.
Fun.
And I also raffle them off because otherwise I'd have to take them home or, you know, leave them laying around. So I do a little raffle where you'll be able to, you know, put a ticket in a jar and maybe take that pumpkin home. So one of the ones that I've carved.
Oh, fun. Okay. Well, you know what? That actually reminds me of one more question. We're kind of running out of time, but I want to ask you this other thing. You know, as you know, in Humboldt, especially pumpkins, once I carve, I mean, of course, I'm hollowing it out typically, but they don't last very long. So I usually carve right before Halloween so that I can have it out there with all the kids and stuff happening. But do you have, I mean, is it, do they last longer when you don't hollow them out? Do you have any tricks about how to preserve the pumpkin once you have turned it into art?
You can buy a little time. Definitely lasts longer when you don't break through. Mm. If you just carve from the outside in and you don't break all the way through, I have a big zucchini I carved that has dried out almost like an apple and is still intact from like several weeks ago.
Wow.
But normally, none of the preservation tips and tricks really do too much. In this town, the trick is keeping the mold off,
mm-hmm.
And which is virtually impossible. And you stand in one place too long, and you'll get mold. So
that's true.
If you can get, I use like a really like a little vinegar solution or tea tree oil, like anything that'll keep the mold back.
Mm.
That'll buy you time. You can also, you know, carve something, keep it in the refrigerator, and only take it out for, you know, the time that's viewable. You extend the life a really long time that way. Other folks have actually pickled them. So if you have a giant, like a giant glass thing, and you're willing to have a giant glass thing for a long, long time with a carved pumpkin in it, folks have had some success with that. But again, then you have this thing laying around all the time. And so far, I don't have any big glass things or too much of motivation to do that myself. But there have been pumpkins that are, you know, have lasted years that way. But yeah, for the most part, you just take a picture and wave goodbye.
Mm-hmm.
That's part of the poetry. You know, it's ethereal. It goes away. And that's part of the silliness. And that's one of the reasons we like it.
Yeah. Yeah, that is very, very true. Well, and I'm just imagining like cleaning out all of the things in my fridge and just filling it with my creations.
Yeah, yeah, there you go.
Yeah, whatever. Sorry, kids. No eggs and cheese this week. Well, anyway.
No food for you. Nothing but pumpkins. I advocate that.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much, Mike. I really, really appreciate it. And I will share your appearances on our social media so folks can come out and see what you got going on. I love that this is what you do with your life. It's inspiring to me. I really appreciate it. Yeah. So thank you.
Awesome. Thank you so much.
Yeah. Thank you. And everyone, Mike Craighead, of course, will you tell us your website one more time so people can go there?
It's mikecraighead.com and MikeCraighead. There's no I, even though there sounds like there's one.
Awesome.
It's really Craighead.
Craighead.
It depends on who in the family that you ask. There are people who pronounce it Craighead, my relatives in Kansas, but my dad always said Craighead, so that's what I went with.
All right. Well, I'm sure there are people that call you other names as well.
Many, many, many. Yes.
All right, Mike, hang on the line for just a moment. I am going to take a little bit of a commercial break, and then we are going to hear a pumpkin song, of course, because this is K-Hill.
Right on.